No, there's perhaps only Danny Ward that's maybe a little bit doubtful for tomorrow night. He got stood on, as everyone in the ground seen, by Mr. Blackstoke in a challenge. Dexter gets a yellow. Maybe it's a red on another day, but it was never going to be for us on Saturday. So Danny's a little bit doubtful, but he's been doubtful before, and he's had a good recovery and then been able to play. So he would be the only one it would be in addition to anything we've had.
And I guess you don't need to risk, do you, at this early stage of a season? It's not like you've got 6 points coming up, final game of the season, where you do have to make that risk.
No, we're two games in. Some would think it's 32. We're two games in. We didn't turn up in one of them. We turned up on Saturday. We were outstanding in spells at Nottingham Forest. And it would have been harsh had we left with a share of the spoils. It's really, really harsh on us when we leave with nothing. We've looked at the DVD yesterday as a staff. We went through it with the players this morning. The players are shaking their head, not only not getting in from the game, but a number of probably poor decisions. That's the best way I can describe them without landing myself in trouble. But there we go. It happens. We went there. We were facing a good football club, great football club, a great history. And we went toe-to-toe, and we went back disappointed on the coach, and rightfully so.
Lots of fans who might not have been at the game will hear you talking about referees and say, oh, it's Steve Evans talking about referees once again. But having seen the incident, I think we're all in agreement here, sat in the room, that there should have been a red card and a penalty, shouldn't there? Right at, like you say, 46 minutes gone.
Well, I'm not questioning about the referee, and every other week that he officiates. He's had us twice, and once last season, once this season. He's been shockingly poor on both occasions. I think to miss the handball on Saturday at 1 minute into the second half, which would be a red card and a penalty. We're not saying we're going to score from the penalty. The result even may be that Nottingham Forest are going to beat us 2-1. But it's a pivotal change in the game, and it's really, really poor. If we don't get penalties like that, I don't think we'll get a penalty again. You know, it's that obvious. Now, we've showed it to our group. Our group already seen what their eyes told them on Saturday. And to use the expression of five or six senior players in my dressing room, it's even more obvious and blatant than what it was to the human eye, and they thought it was a penalty on Saturday. So I'm waiting on the head of referees ringing me back. Spoke long and hard to him Saturday night, but I expect the same answer, which is, sorry about that, we got it wrong. Because despite what supporters of other clubs might think, that I'm going on about referees, we had about 16 key match decisions go against us last year, and we'd one go for. That's a big imbalance. We don't want to get that again this season, because you have to fight and combat that.
How do you combat that then? Should referees be answerable? Should they be coming out and speaking to, I don't know, the media, or just be able to put out statements? I don't know. What's the answer to it?
Well, it's like the old Russia, isn't it? It's like a secret society. You can't get an answer. You know, I don't know if I'm politically allowed to say it, but what I can say is Mike Riley is a... I've only met Mike Riley once, who's the head of all the referees. He's a good guy. He's a Rotherham born and bred man. He's full of integrity the time I met him, and he was probably telling me about an incident that I got wrong, and he was explaining it. So I'm sure Mike Riley and David Allison, the head of referees at the Football League, can somehow fight for a system where referees can explain to the media as to why key match incidents and why they've gave certain decisions. I think it may have been embarrassing for the referee on Saturday to try and explain the lack of a penalty to Rotherham United, maybe two or three other decisions. But football has now got to a stage, it's a worldwide brand, and if the people like Jose Mourinho, who I think is a great manager, and people like Pellegrini, and people like Arsene Wenger, full of integrity, these guys, and they're asking now, Tony Pulis is an advocate of, let referees explain themselves. The days are gone where they can drive off in a car and leave the ground and the people behind them to pick up the bits.
Let's move forward then from the weekend. And I want to ask you about Johnson Clark-Harris. What's his situation at the minute? Not been involved in your squad so far this season. Where's he standing right now?
I think he's standing upstairs having his lunch. He's sitting upstairs having his lunch. He needs to do more, we've told him. You know, if you looked at our bench on Saturday, we cover all our options, you know. We had Danny Ward on the bench. We had three strikers on the park. We had Chris Maguire on the park. We had Jordan Bowery on the park. We had Matt Derbyshire on the pitch. And he's not in front of any of those. So I'll make that absolutely clear, as I've done to Johnson. But he's worked hard in training the last few days. So that gives him an immediate chance of catching people's eye. And as opposed to going through the motions in training, and there's a real difference. But I still stick by my conviction that he's a big talent. He's younger than what he looks when he walks past you, or he stands next to you. He stands at 6 feet 3 and is absolutely strong and massively strong. So he don't look a kid. He is a kid in a man's body, but he has to produce more consistent performances that earns him the right to get on the pitch.
He's been out on loan before during his time here. Would you consider him doing that again, sending him out once again to get some games?
Well, he's turned down the offers of a couple of loan moves in the last 10 days, and because he didn't feel those clubs were right for him to go on loan. We'll never force a player to go on loan. We always just pinpoint that it may be an opportunity to go and get 4 weeks of football, 3 weeks of football, whatever it is. And it's the same when we bring loan players into our football club. We give them an opportunity to come and have a platform to play. It doesn't mean if a club phones up tomorrow they can have them. We have to pick the right club for Johnson, and then he has to pick the right club for himself.
Does it, in some ways, though, show his desire to play here as well, the fact he's turning down loan moves? He still wants to fight for a place in the squad here.
Well, I would have a desire to play in the Championship if I was Johnson, but you have to earn that right. Mm. It's not about desire. Every player in our squad has a desire to play. We've also got a young striker that we think really highly of in Jerry Yates that we have to find a way of at least introducing him to the matchday squad. He's exceptional most days in training. So Steve Evans has to make some brave decisions and find a way of giving a local boy a chance.
So he could really step up then, Jerry Yates, you think? You think he's got the talent to be able to do it?
Yeah, listen, he's not a starter in any shape or form. When you've got Danny Ward and you've got and you've got Jordan Bowrey and Chris Maguire and Matt Derbyshire, he's not a starter, but we have to look inside our squad and we have to look what our eyes tell us. And, you know, you've got Eric Black who comes in not knowing anyone and is immediately impressed by young Jerry, and myself and Paul Rain have always advocated as what he's got. Maybe the way forward is for Jerry to have a month of football somewhere else and play amongst men and score a few goals. But we have a responsibility here to make sure that we're putting in that match day squad who we think deserves to be in it and not by reputation.
And at the other end of the field as well, I know you spoke after the game at the weekend about Kelly Roos, and you weren't pointing any finger at him, and you were saying he'll play on Tuesday night. You didn't think he was particularly at fault for the goals at the weekend. Lots of fans are still phoning us, texting and tweeting us saying, where's Adam Collin? Why can't he be coming back in? Should he be coming back in? What would you say to those fans who would like to see him come back in?
Well, there's a number of factors. If we start with Adam, Adam's performances in training games and closed-door and reserve games has not been good enough. So we need Adam's performances to step back up to the level we know he's capable of. There's no doubt, there's no question about Adam Collins' ability. But listen, to take somebody's shirt, not only does that person have to underperform, you have to then overperform. And that's every manager in the country. So that's the first thing. People who are quick to pick on Kyle Roos for the goal on Saturday, just look at the goal again and do what we do. Have a look at the cross. Is it too easy coming into a box? Should Kel put it over the bar? Yes, he should move his feet quick and put it over the bar. Should Lewis Buxton go and gamble that Kel Roos is missing it and run off Antonio and leave Antonio to tap it in? No, he shouldn't. And should the initial ball get transferred with the ease it did leading to the cross? No, it shouldn't. So there's four mistakes for that goal. And as a manager, you have to break down those mistakes. But everyone will always look at a goalkeeper. If he does the routine things very well, they'll come out and say, oh, the goalkeeper didn't notice him. Kyle Rose was outstanding on Saturday, and everything he done, he made one error, and that led to a goal. But he was part of one of four. So he'll play against Preston. Adam Collins' performances need to come up if he wants to get a Miller's number one shot.
Does he need to, in some ways, Kelly Roos, maybe command his area a bit more? Maybe be a little bit more of a striking figure, an imposing figure, do you think, when those balls are coming into the box?
Oh, he did that on Saturday. He was outstanding on Saturday. I think there's nine corners. He's taken eight of them cleanly. There's five or six wide free kicks. He's taken them all cleanly. He had that on Saturday. When you're in goals, and a lot of our supporters never played goalkeeper. I've never played goalkeeper, but I listen to the goalkeeping experts. And I know for a fact that a goalkeeper will go further to his near post when a cross is getting delivered and easier. That's a fact. And that's the correct thing for them to do. And just by the fact that Joe Mattock was hanging by a thread in terms of what he'd left in his legs, he doesn't close Chris Burke down sharp enough, quick enough, with any intent to stop across. And the boy Burke don't need much of a chance to put a ball into the box, so he lifts it and then lay the problem.
We're still in the transfer window. You said on Saturday nothing was imminent. We're now on Monday. Anything else changed on that front?
Well, we're working hard to add a couple of players. You know, we're talking to clubs now, but, you know, we have to first and foremost get permission, Jonathan, and then we have to have, if we get permission, we have to have those players that want to come here. You know, we always know there's a pecking order as where a player will want to go and play his football. So if you're asking a lad to come from the Premier League, will he want to come and play at Rotherham? The minute there's a chink of hesitation in that, I don't want him. And that's just my stance. I have to have players that want to come and play for the shirt, that want to come and play for our supporters, and wanting to come and embrace themselves here as a player. the minute there's a chink of that nose. So we're in dialogue now. Will something happen? It could happen today, it could happen tomorrow, it may not happen for a week. We don't know. We're at the beck and call of one club in the Championship and one club in the Premier League.
Has that hesitation happened with that player in the Premier League you were talking about? Because you did mention a couple of weeks ago, didn't you, that you were waiting for the first couple of weeks of the Premier League season, then they would decide about that player's future.
Well, I know that his football club would be happy to sanction a loan move here, but the player won't be aware of that till the middle of the week. And so by the middle of the week, certainly in that one, we would have an idea then whether the player's got hesitation. If he's got hesitation, I ain't travelling around to the country to persuade him to come and play for Rotherham United. He wants to travel the length of the country to sign for us. That's what we should happen.
And you're still confident of adding then? What are you looking at? One, two, three?
Yeah, no, we're only looking at a couple here. We've got a good squad. You know, we've got good competition in a lot of areas. That's important. What's important with the competition, Jonathan, is that people are stepping up and producing performances behind the scenes that make you think if someone drops a chink, then you put that person in with real confidence. That's the chat I've had, for example, with Adam Collin. You know, Adam knows that in a recent couple of reserve games, he's been poor. He knows that. But we know the Adam Collin. So he has to have those level of performances to go in. And if he gets those level of performances, he'll get an opportunity, I've no doubt.
So Preston then, renewing the old rivalry, I guess you could say. You've had some real ding-dongs with them over the last couple of seasons, I guess you could
say.
Well,
they're a fantastic football club, aren't they? With good players, and we know we have to play at our best, but if we play as well as we played at Nottingham Forest in large spells of the game, I'm sure our next one is around the corner. I've greatest respect for a football club that can have the strike force they've got. I think in Joe Gardner, they've got an exceptional talent. I never hid my words when I was in League One against a little filler. You know, he's 5'9" and 5'8" and runs about as if he's 6'8", smashing people, you know. And
he nearly turned you into a chicken, didn't he? That was the quote from you on that day. Well, if you see a better goal than that, you'll be a chicken.
And Alec Ravel saved the day. And you look at, you know, the players they've got all around. When they were in League One, Jonathan, Preston North End was able to provide the resources where they signed Championship players. There lay the difference of the clubs in League One. It didn't mean then they had an automatic right to go and win promotion to the Championship, but they had a lot of Championship quality tested and proven players. And it's a tough opposition. You know, I watched the game against Middlesbrough. They don't, probably unfortunately, not to win the game. Middlesbrough kick a couple off the line later on. And then they've gone to MK Dons, and I've watched a full DVD of that this morning, very early this morning. And they win by the odd goal, by the one goal, but it could have been 3 or 4. They gave Milton Keynes a difficult time. And we know how difficult Milton Keynes made it for us. So it's a real tough game for us. But every game in the Championship is tough, as yesterday proved. I drove all the way down to Reading and probably watched the worst game in the history of football. You know, but every game in the Championship is really tough. And, you know, when I talk about the worst game in the history of football yesterday, it's got 22 outstanding footballers at the start of the game. It just was one of those afternoons that there was no football. And but what I would say is in the Championship, every game is the finest of margins of whether you win or not. Let's go back to past Saturday week. One each with MK Dons. We've laid 6 to the goal, missed 3 or 4. Good, probably 2 easy chances. You know, it's a pivotal moment. Let's go back to the City ground. There's a pivotal moment, 46 and a half minutes on the clock. Jordan Bowdy strikes, it's going in the net. There's a clear on ball, no penalty, no red card. They're pivotal moments. I would suggest we could have had more points than 0. Certainly probably more points than 3. But you get out what you put in ultimately, over 46.
And fans will head down to the New York Stadium, won't they, though, with Preston being a promoted side, pinpointing this and saying, this has to be a three-point haul, this should be a three-point haul. I know it's early in the season, but lots of fans will think that.
Well, our fans might go at the stadium thinking that, but I bet you Middlesbrough fans never played Preston last week thinking this is going to be an easier 3 points, and it didn't prove to be. So every game is tough. You know, Preston's a fantastic football club. But we go back 2 years, 3 years, and people say you don't want it, but if you go back 2 or 3 years, Preston North End here would have been a big cup tie. It certainly wouldn't have been a league game. So we live in the real world. We jumped up into the Championship through the playoffs. Preston North End jumped in through the playoffs. It's got the hallmarks of a good game. Nothing but admiration and respect for the manager. He's tried and tested in League One, and he delivered again by taking Preston North End up to this level. And he's got a lot of good footballers, so it's game on. But we've got a lot of good players. We've got a fantastic fan base as well. We're at home. We want a big performance. If we produce a big performance and we get the same qualities as Saturday, we'll win.